All right, so get this. Silicon Valley is taking on defense. And we're not talking about like some sci-fi movie here. This is happening right now, big time.
Yeah, it's a huge shift. Think about it. For decades, defense tech was basically the domain of giant, like dinosaurs, these massive defense contractors. And now we've got agile startups coming in, shaking things up, and it's really changing the whole game.
Exactly. And we've got a fascinating deep dive lined up for you today based on this recent WebPro News article about this explosion of defense tech startups. And we'll uncover what's driving this trend, who the major players are, and what it all means for, well, all of us, really.
Yeah, the article starts with the striking fact that 5 years ago, there was just one defense tech startup at a major industry forum. This year, over 50.
Wow, 50.
That's insane growth.
Yeah, that's a total sea change. I mean, what happened to cause that kind of explosion?
Well, there's a kind of perfect storm brewing. The article mentions this government initiative, the Defense Innovation Unit, or DIU. It was launched back in 2014 to try to bridge the gap between, the Pentagon and Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Two worlds that didn't exactly speak the same language.
Wait, so the government was actually trying to get Silicon Valley involved in defense?
Yeah.
That seems kind of counterintuitive, suits and ties versus hoodies and hackers.
Right. But the government realized that they needed to tap into that startup energy, that agility, if they wanted to stay ahead of the curve, especially with technology moving so fast.
So the DIU was like the first step, but was that really enough to spark this massive growth?
It was a start, but what really tipped the scales were the success stories of SpaceX and Palantir. They were like the pioneers. They proved that Silicon Valley could actually deliver in the defense world, and suddenly everyone wanted to be part of it.
Okay, those are some big names, but let's break it down. What did they actually do that was so game-changing?
Well, SpaceX, for example, revolutionized how we get things into space. You know how expensive and time-consuming satellite launches used to be? SpaceX came along with their reusable rockets, and they just slashed costs, increased efficiency, made space accessible in a way it never was before. That's a huge deal for militaries, for logistics, for everything.
Right, like being able to deploy assets quickly and affordably, that's got to be a big advantage in any kind of conflict or strategic planning. And what about Palantir?
Palantir is all about data. Specifically, battlefield intelligence. They've developed this incredibly powerful software that can sift through mountains of data. We're talking satellite imagery, communications, intercepts, you name it, and find the patterns, the insights that would be impossible for humans to spot. They're giving military commanders this real-time, almost clairvoyant understanding of the battlefield.
So it's like SpaceX is about controlling the high ground of space, and Palantir is about mastering the information battlefield. Two very different approaches, but both completely game-changing in their own way.
Exactly. And those successes really sent a shockwave through the system. Suddenly, it wasn't just about building tanks and missiles. It was about who could harness the latest tech to gain an edge.
And then, of course, everything changed in 2022 with the war in Ukraine. That really brought into sharp focus how important this cutting-edge tech could be in a real-world conflict.
Yeah, the article calls it the Ukraine effect. Seeing a modern war unfold in real time with drone satellite imagery, advanced cyber warfare, it made it crystal clear that this wasn't just theoretical anymore. This tech had real-world consequences, life or death consequences.
And I bet that really lit a fire under a lot of entrepreneurs and investors thinking, okay, we need to be in this space.
Absolutely. The article highlights a couple of companies, Anduril and Shield AI, as examples of this new breed of defense tech startups.
So these companies are like the new kids on the block, but they're already making waves. What sets them apart?
Well, they're not just building gadgets, they're developing complete systems. Take Shield AI, for example. They started out building autonomous drones for reconnaissance, but now they've expanded into full-fledged autonomous systems for everything from surveillance to targeting. And they're growing rapidly. They already have over 4,000 employees.
4,000. That's not a startup anymore. That's a major player. And it makes you wonder what kind of cutting-edge stuff are they working on right now that we don't even know about.
Yeah, that's the exciting part, right? There's so much happening behind the scenes, so much potential. And it's not just about traditional weapon systems anymore. The article also talks about this growing focus on energy resilience.
Oh, right. Like, how can we make sure that critical infrastructure can keep running?
Yeah.
Even in a conflict or a disaster.
Exactly. We're seeing startups developing things like portable nuclear microreactors, solar thermal batteries that can store energy for days, even weeks. Stuff that sounds straight out of a sci-fi movie, but it's real and it has the potential to change everything.
That's pretty wild. So it sounds like the technology is evolving at a crazy pace, but what about the government? Are they actually able to keep up with all this?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The article points out that it's not just about the tech itself, it's about the whole system. How do you get these innovations from a lab in Silicon Valley to the battlefield?
Mm-hmm.
How do you change the way the government thinks about procurement, about contracting, about working with these new players?
I can see how that would be a huge challenge. The government isn't exactly known for its speed or agility.
Right. But the article suggests that things are starting to change. They're bringing in more tech-savvy people into leadership positions. People who understand how to work with startups, how to move fast and break things.
So it's like a cultural shift too, not just the technological one.
Exactly. And then, of course, there's the money. Venture capital's pouring into this space like never before. The article mentions Andreessen Horowitz, this big Silicon Valley venture capital firm. They've set up a fund specifically for investing in companies that are focused on, you know, American dynamism, things like defense, energy, critical infrastructure.
Mm.
They're betting big on this being the next frontier for innovation.
So it's like everyone's suddenly realizing the potential here, the investors, the entrepreneurs. Even the government, it's kind of a gold rush in a way.
Yeah, and it's attracting some of the brightest minds out there. People who maybe would have gone to Google or Facebook 10 years ago are now looking at these defense tech startups and thinking, this is where I can really make a difference.
It's kind of fascinating to think about how the whole landscape is shifting. So we've got the startups, the tech, the money, even the government getting on board. But where does that leave the rest of us? I mean, what does this all actually mean for, you know, the average person?
That's a great question, and one we'll definitely be exploring in the next part of our deep dive. The implications of this are far-reaching, and they touch on everything from national security to the economy, to the very way we live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. It's mind-boggling to consider just how much has changed in the defense tech landscape.
Yeah.
You know, from a lone startup at a forum to over 50 in just a decade.
Yeah, it really highlights how fast things move in the tech world. What's exciting to me is that it feels like we're still in the early stages of this whole defense tech revolution. Who knows what kind of incredible innovations we'll see in the next 5-10 years.
Yeah, the possibilities are vast and the potential is enormous.
Yeah.
But it's crucial to remember that with any powerful technology comes inherent risks.
You're right. We've been focusing on the positive side of things, but let's not shy away from addressing the potential downsides. What are some of the key concerns that spring to mind?
Well, one of the major concerns, as the article points out, revolves around the impact of this tech boom on government service.
Mm.
You know, it's been traditionally perceived as a somewhat, let's say, less exciting career path. However, the influx of these cutting-edge technologies is changing that perception.
Really? I mean, I can see how it's becoming more, I don't know, dynamic. But cool, I'm not quite convinced.
Well, think about it. In the past, government jobs, especially in defense, weren't exactly seen as the place to be for brilliant, ambitious minds. But with the rise of companies like SpaceX and Palantir demonstrating that you can achieve amazing things in the government sector, the tide is turning.
So it's like Silicon Valley is injecting a dose of its energy and cool factor into the government.
Precisely. This new wave of defense tech is making government work more appealing, especially to a younger generation that wants to be on the cutting edge. Wants to make a real difference.
Okay, I get it. It's not your grandfather's government job anymore. It's about space exploration, artificial intelligence, cutting-edge robotics. That's definitely got a certain appeal.
Exactly. And the article even quotes Catherine Boyle from Andreessen Horowitz saying, making government cool again is one of the most unexpected yet positive outcomes of this movement. I think she hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, it's a refreshing change for sure. For a while, it seemed like all the best and brightest were heading straight for Silicon Valley. Now there's a sense that you can do meaningful and innovative work within the government, too.
And that's critical.
Yeah.
We need those brilliant minds working within the government, collaborating with the private sector to navigate these complex challenges and ensure these technologies are utilized responsibly.
Yeah, it sounds like a win-win situation.
Right.
You've got the government benefiting from the private sector's dynamism and innovation, while the private sector gets access to resources and a platform to develop groundbreaking technologies.
Exactly. It's a symbiotic relationship, each side pushing the other to be more innovative and impactful.
Hmm.
But of course, alongside those exciting advancements, we also need to acknowledge the potential downsides.
Right back to the risks. It's like walking a tightrope, embracing the incredible possibilities while being cautious of the potential pitfalls.
Absolutely. One of the concerns raised in the article is the potential impact on global power dynamics. If only a select few powerful nations or corporations control these advanced technologies, it could create a dangerous imbalance.
Yeah, it's a valid point. It's like any powerful tool. It can be used for good or for ill. how do we ensure that the benefits of these innovations are shared broadly and don't further widen the gap between the haves and the have-nots?
It's a complex challenge requiring international cooperation and careful consideration of ethical frameworks. We need to ensure that the development and deployment of these technologies are guided by principles of fairness, transparency, and accountability.
That makes sense. We can't just blindly charge ahead without considering the potential consequences.
Exactly. We need to be mindful of the potential for unintended consequences, both in terms of global power dynamics and the impact on individual societies.
So it's not just about building cool gadgets. It's about ensuring those gadgets are used responsibly and ethically.
Precisely. And that requires ongoing dialogue, critical thinking, and a willingness to adapt and adjust our approach as these technologies evolve.
Yeah. We've covered a lot of ground today, from the incredible growth of the defense tech sector to the challenges and potential risks. What stands out to you as the most significant takeaway from all of this?
For me, it's the realization that we're at a pivotal moment. We're on the cusp of a technological revolution that has the potential to reshape the world as we know it. How we navigate this revolution will determine the course of our future.
You're right. It's exciting. It's daunting. It's full of possibilities. And we all have a role to play in shaping this future.
Exactly. It's not just about governments and corporations. It's about individuals, too. Staying informed, engaging in thoughtful discussions, and demanding responsible development and deployment of these technologies are crucial.
Well said. As we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to leave our listener with a question to ponder.
Oh, I love a good thought-provoking question. What do you have in mind?
As these defense technologies become more integrated into our lives, both in military and civilian contexts, how do you think they will shape the future of society? What are the opportunities and challenges we should be prepared to face? Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been unpacking this incredible surge in defense tech startups, and it's clear that we're on the verge of some massive shifts.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? This intersection of cutting-edge tech and, well, the serious business of defense, it's creating a whole new landscape.
Yeah, we left off with this big question. How will these technologies, many of which sound like they're straight out of science fiction, actually impact our lives, not just on the battlefield, but in everyday society?
Well, it's a question with no easy answers. But the article does offer some intriguing glimpses into what the future might hold.
Uh-huh.
Let's start with the positive potential, shall we?
Yeah.
A lot of these technologies have what are called dual-use applications, meaning they can be just as beneficial in civilian life as they are in military contexts.
Right, like we were talking about energy resilience. Those portable nuclear reactors and advanced battery systems, they're not just for powering military bases and remote locations. They could revolutionize how we power our homes, our cities, everything.
Exactly. Imagine a world where remote communities, disaster-stricken areas, they all have access to reliable, clean energy no matter what. These defense-driven innovations could be a game changer for global sustainability and resilience.
I'm all for a future with more reliable and sustainable energy. It's a reminder that even when we're talking about defense, there's potential for progress that benefits everyone.
And it's not just energy. Think about the advancements in artificial intelligence and autonomous systems. Sure, there are legitimate concerns about their use in warfare, but those same technologies could be harnessed to solve some of humanity's toughest challenges.
Like what? I mean, I get the idea, but give me some concrete examples.
Yeah.
Well, imagine AI-powered medical diagnostics that can detect diseases earlier and more accurately than ever before, or autonomous transportation systems that drastically reduce traffic accidents and congestion. In our increasingly crowded cities, the potential is mind-blowing.
Okay, I see where you're going. It's like taking the tech that's being developed for, let's say, a super sophisticated drone and applying those same principles to, say, a self-driving ambulance or a robot that can perform delicate surgery.
Exactly. And those are just a couple of examples. The potential applications are virtually limitless, but of course we can't ignore the potential downsides.
Yeah.
This is powerful tech, and with power comes responsibility, right?
Absolutely. What are some of the risks we need to be aware of as these technologies become more widespread?
Well, one of the big concerns the article touches on is the potential for what they call an AI arms race. Basically, the idea that nations could get caught up in this competition to develop ever more powerful and autonomous weapon systems.
It sounds a bit like a science fiction dystopia, doesn't it? Machines making life or death decisions on the battlefield without any human intervention.
Yeah, the danger is that this kind of race could lead to a loss of human control over warfare, making conflicts more unpredictable, potentially more devastating, and much harder to contain.
So it's not just about the technology itself. It's about how we use it, how we control it, how we ensure that humans remain in the loop making the critical decisions.
Right. And that's going to require a lot of thought, a lot of international cooperation, maybe even some new global agreements or treaties to set clear boundaries and prevent this technology from spiraling out of control.
Yeah, it's almost like we need to create a whole new set of rules for this new era of warfare. Rules that take into account the unique challenges posed by artificial intelligence and autonomous systems.
And another risk to consider is the potential for these technologies to exacerbate existing inequalities, both between nations and within societies.
Like, if only the wealthiest countries or the most powerful corporations have access to this cutting-edge tech, it could create a massive imbalance of power.
Exactly. We need to ensure that the benefits of these innovations are shared widely, that they're used to lift up humanity as a whole, not just a select few. That's going to require a conscious effort to promote equitable access to these technologies and to ensure that they're developed and deployed in a way that benefits everyone.
So it's a balancing act, right? Embracing the incredible potential of this tech, while also putting in place the safeguards, the ethical frameworks, the global cooperation needed to prevent it from being misused or from exacerbating existing inequalities.
It's a challenge for sure, but it's a challenge we have to face head on. The stakes are simply too high to ignore.
Well, this has been a truly fascinating deep dive. We've covered so much ground, from the explosive growth of defense tech startups to the potential benefits and risks of this technological revolution. What's your final takeaway for our listener as they process all this information?
I think the key takeaway is this. We're at a pivotal moment in history. The decisions we make today, the investments we prioritize, the ethical frameworks we put in place, they will determine the course of our future. It's not just about defense. It's about the kind of world we want to live in, the kind of future we want to create for ourselves and for generations to come.
Powerful stuff, and a great reminder that this isn't just something happening out there. It's something that will impact all of us.
Absolutely. It's time to start paying attention, to get informed, to engage in these conversations, and to demand that these technologies are developed and used responsibly, ethically, and for the benefit of all humanity.
That's a great call to action. Thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive into the world of defense tech. Mm-hmm. It's a topic that we'll certainly be revisiting as this landscape continues to evolve.
It's been a pleasure. And to our listener, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep pushing for a future where technology serves humanity, not the other way around.